Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday morning, July 5th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Over 60 well-curated podcasts over there. Really wide variety of topics. So I will guarantee you, you're going to find something over there you want to listen to. And I can almost guarantee you, and I know this happened to me and has happened to others, that you're going to get over there and you're going to find more stuff to listen to than you have time to listen to it. So again, I could not recommend it more strongly for you to get on over there and look for stuff to listen to. Great, great podcast for my brothers and sisters in Christ. So definitely worth your while. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. That is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can shift gears and commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative in our community. So go ahead and click on the link. Pastor Jay has provided a much more thorough description than I just did about what we're trying to do. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us, we'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us, and we'd ask you to pass that link along so that others can do the same. All right. Well, with it being Saturday, we're going to be doing our Bible reading today. We're not doing any Bible study. We'll pick that back up on Monday and continuing on in John chapter 11. So with that being the case, why don't we go ahead and jump straight in? We're going to go ahead and open up like we usually do on a Saturday with the Seventh-day morning prayer. It's called God's good pleasure. Wow. I'm having trouble reading too. Not enough coffee, I guess, yet. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, Thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of Thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in Thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make Thee a liar. Yet in Christ Thou art reconciled to Thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear Him, the eye of faith to see Him, the hand of faith to receive Him, the appetite of faith to feed upon Him, that we might find in Him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to Thee. The Almighty Instructor, teach us to live to Thee. The Light Dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding Thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of Thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it. And in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what Thou art and what we are. To recall Thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach Thee clothed with humility. For vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget Thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to Thy invitations. Amen. All right. Now, our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for August 5th. The text is from Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Upon some points, a believer is absolutely sure. He knows, for instance, that God sits in the stern sheets of the vessel when it rocks most. He believes that an invisible hand is always on the world's tiller, and that whatever providence may drift, Jehovah steers it. That reassuring knowledge prepares him for everything. He looks over the raging waters and sees the Spirit of Jesus treading the billows, and he hears a voice saying, "It is I, be not afraid." He knows, too, that God is always wise, and knowing this, he is confident that there can be no accidents, no mistakes, that nothing can occur which ought not to arise. He can say, if I should lose all I have, it is better that I should lose than have, if God so wills. The worst calamity is the wisest and the kindest thing that could befall to me if God ordains it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Christian does not merely hold this as a theory, but he knows it as a matter of fact. Everything is worked for good as yet. The poisonous drugs mixed in fit proportions have worked the cure. The sharp cuts of the lancet have cleansed out the proud flesh and facilitated the healing. Every event as yet has worked out the most divinely blessed results, and so believing that God rules all, that he governs wisely, that he brings good out of evil, the believer's heart is assured, and he is enabled calmly to meet each trial as it comes. The believer can, in the spirit of true resignation, pray, "Send me what thou wilt, my God, so long as it comes from thee. Never came there an ill portion from thy table to any of thy children. Say not, my soul, from whence can God relieve my care? Remember that omnipotence has servants everywhere. His method is sublime, his heart profoundly kind. God never is before his time and never is behind." All right, well, we're going to get into our scripture reading now, but I need to take a drink of coffee here, so give me just a second. Oh, all right. Thank you. Sorry, I don't know where that frog in my throat came from. All right, so we actually finished 2 Chronicles. So we're going to be in Ezra 1 and 2 this morning. We'll be 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, Psalm 27, verse 7 through 14, and Proverbs 20, verses 22 and 23. So Ezra 1. So here we are coming back. This is after. So 1 Chronicles led up to, except for the very last verses of, or I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, again, sometimes I feel like I need to do this. Let me set the context here a little bit. So 2 Chronicles, as we've gone through 2 Chronicles, as we've read through all this, through the history here, 2 Chronicles, except for the last verse or two, comes up to the, the Israelites being taken to Babylon. They've been taken to Babylon. They've been scattered. Okay. So then the 70 years that they're gone. And then the last two verses, 2 Chronicles, and here as we get into Ezra and Nehemiah, which will be the next book after this, this is them, the Israelites, starting to come back after that 70 years. So that's our context here. And like we saw at the very end of 2 Chronicles, we saw something about Cyrus, king of Persia. Well, here we're going to get kind of a restatement of that and then Ezra's involvement. That's what the book of Ezra is. Ezra's involvement in the Israelites heading back, being called back to Israel. So, again, Ezra 1, and I'm sorry for trying to clear my throat here. All right, Ezra 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to complete the word of Yahweh from the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he had a proclamation passed throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of Yahweh, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. So everyone who remains, at whatever place he may sojourn, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of fathers' households of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites arose, that is, of everyone whose spirit God had stirred up to go up to rebuild the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem. All those around them strengthened them with articles of silver, with gold, with possessions, with cattle, and with precious things, aside from all that was given as a freewill offering. Also King Cyrus brought out the articles of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought out from Jerusalem and put in the house of his gods. And Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought out by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and he counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. Now this was their number: 30 gold dishes, 1,000 silver dishes, 29 duplicates, 30 gold bowls, 410 silver bowls of a second kind, and 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver numbered 5,400. Sheshbazzar brought them all up with the exiles who went up from Babylon to Jerusalem. Ezra 2. Now these are the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of the exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken away into exile to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his city. These came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reeliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Baana. The number of the men of the people of Israel: the sons of Parosh, 2172. The sons of Shephatiah, 372. The sons of Era, 775. The sons of Pahath Moab, of the sons of Jeshua and Joab, 2812. The sons of Elam, 1254. The sons of Zattu, 945. The sons of Zakai, 760. The sons of Bani, 642. The sons of Bebai, 623. The sons of Azgad, 1,222. The sons of Adonikam, 666. The sons of Bigvai, 2,056. The sons of Aden, 454. The sons of Adar of Hezekiah, 98. The sons of Bezai, 323. The sons of Jorah, 112. The sons of Hashum, 223. The sons of Jibbar, sorry, it's with a G there, 95. The sons of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophath, 56. The men of Anathoth, 128. The sons of Asmaveth, 42. The sons of Kiriath Arim, Shephira, and Beeroth, 743. The sons of Ramah and Jeba, 621. The men of Mishmas, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 223. The sons of Nebo, 52. The sons of Magbish, 156. The sons of the other Elam, 1,254. The sons of Harim, 320. The sons of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725. The men of Jericho, 345. The sons of Sinah, 3,630. The priests, the sons of Jediah of the house of Jeshua, 973. The sons of Immer, 1,052. The sons of Pashur, 1,247. The sons of Harim, 1,017. The sons of Jeshua and Kadmiel of the sons of Hodaviah, 74. The Levites, the sons of Jeshua and Kadmiel, the sons of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 128. The sons of the gatekeepers, the sons of Shalem, the sons of Atter, the sons of Talmon, the sons of Akub, the sons of Atita, the sons of Shobai, and all 139. The temple servants, the sons of Ziha, the sons of Hasufa, the sons of Tabaoth, the sons of Keros, the sons of Siaha, the sons of Padan, the sons of Libana, the sons of Hagaba, the sons of Akub, the sons of Hageb, the sons of Shalmai, the sons of Hanan, the sons of Gidel, the sons of Gehar, the sons of Raiah, the sons of Rezin, the sons of Nekoda, the sons of Gazim, the sons of Uzzah, the sons of Pasea, the sons of Besai, the sons of Asna, the sons of Meunim, the sons of Nephizim, the sons of Bakbuk, the sons of Hakufa, the sons of Harher, the sons of Basluth, the sons of Mehida, the sons of Harsha, the sons of Barkos, the sons of Sisera, the sons of Tima, the sons of Naziah, the sons of Hatifa, the sons of Solomon's servants, the sons of Sotai, the sons of Hashareth, the sons of Petuda, the sons of Jaala, the sons of Darkon, the sons of Gidel, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hatil, the sons of Pokereth Hazabim, the sons of Ami. All the temple servants and the sons of Solomon's servants were 392. Now these are those who came up from Telmela, Telharsha, Cherub, Adan, and Immer, but they were not able to declare their father's households and their father's seed whether they were of Israel, the sons of Deliah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nekoda, 642. Of the sons of the priests, the sons of Hobaiah, the sons of Hakaz, the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife from the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite, and he was called by their name. These searched in their genealogical records, but they could not be found. Therefore they were considered unclean and excluded from the priesthood. The governor said to them that they should not eat from the most holy things until a priest stood with Urim and Thummim. The whole assembly together was 42,360, besides their male and female slaves, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 200 male and female singers. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 435, their donkeys 6,720. Some of the heads of fathers' households, when they arrived at the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem, gave a freewill offering for the house of God to restore it on its foundation. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold drachmas and 5,000 silver minas and 100 priestly tunics. So the priests and the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants lived in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. All right. Wow, that was a tough one with all the names. All right. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased, through this foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers, that there was not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may abolish the things that are, so that no flesh may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superiority of word or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the witness of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my word and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right, Psalm 27, verses 7 through 14. Hear, O Yahweh, when I call with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. On your behalf my heart says, seek my face. Your face, O Yahweh, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your slave away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me and do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but Yahweh will take me up. Instruct me in your way, O Yahweh, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not give me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Hope in Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. And Proverbs 20, verses 22 through 23. Do not say, I will repay evil. Hope in Yahweh, and he will save you. Differing weights are an abomination to Yahweh, and a deceitful balance is not good. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Let's go ahead and do the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for August 5th. The text is from Numbers 32:6. Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Kindred has its obligations. The Reubenites and the Gadites would have been unbrotherly if they had claimed the land which had been conquered and had left the rest of the people to fight for their portions alone. We have received much by means of the efforts and sufferings of the saints in years gone by, and if we do not make some return to the Church of Christ by giving her our best energies, we are unworthy to be enrolled in her ranks. Others are combating the errors of the age manfully, or excavating perishing ones from amid the ruins of the fall, and if we fold our hands in idleness, we had need be warned, lest the curse of Meroz fall upon us. The master of the vineyard saith, Why stand ye here all the day idle? What is the idler's excuse? Personal service of Jesus becomes all the more the duty of all, because it is cheerfully and abundantly rendered by some. The toils of devoted missionaries and fervent ministers shame us if we sit still in indolence. Shrinking from trial is the temptation of those who are at ease in Zion. They would fain escape the cross and yet wear the crown. To them the question for this evening's meditation is very applicable. If the most precious are tried in the fire, are we to escape the crucible? If the diamond must be vexed upon the wheel, are we to be made perfect without suffering? Who hath commanded the wind to cease from blowing because our bark is on the deep? Why and wherefore should we be treated better than our Lord? The firstborn felt the rod, and why not the younger brethren? It is a cowardly pride which would choose a downy pillow and a silken couch for a soldier of the cross. Wiser far is he who, being first resigned to the divine will, groweth by the energy of grace to be pleased with it, and so learns to gather lilies at the cross foot, and like Samson, to find honey in the lion. All right. Well, that is our episode for today. I thank you for spending this time for me. I'm sorry I didn't get it recorded last night, so it came out first thing this morning, but I had family over and I was playing with my grandson on the floor, so that kind of took precedence. But I did want to make sure I got together with you today. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I love you so much, and I really am grateful for the time you spend with me. And I hope this time in the Word and in the time during the week in the Bible study is edifying to you, and it equips you to walk as imitators of God from Ephesians 5. And as Paul says, and I don't ever remember where it is, where Paul says to be imitators of him as he is of Christ. And I hope that this assists you in doing so. That's the whole purpose of this. That there is no other purpose than to bring the gospel and to help to feed the sheep, to equip us all. Because I'm one of the sheep too, to feed us all and equip us and prepare us that we can truly be the children of God, that we truly look like and behave like and truly glorify God and bring honor to Christ who gave his life for us. All right, let's go ahead and close out in prayer. We're going to close out in the Seventh-day evening prayer called Future Blessings. Let's pray. O Lord God, there is no blessing we implore, but thou art able to give, hast promised to give, hast given already to countless multitudes, all unworthy and guilty like ourselves. Make us willing to receive the supply of our need from thy bounty. To this end, convince us of sin, soften our hard hearts, to bewail our folly, ingratitude, pride, unbelief, rebellion, corruption. Through the law may we die to the law, then look with wonder, submission, delight to the provision thou hast made. For the glory of thy name and the salvation of sinners. Give us a hope that makes us not ashamed, a love that excites to holy obedience, a joy in thee that is our strength, a faith in thy Son who loved us and died for us. May we persevere in duty when not fully conscious of thee, wait upon thee and keep thy way, be humble and earnest suppliants at thy feet, live continually as on the brink of eternity. Let us be at thy disposal for the duties and events of life. Submit our preferences to thy wisdom and will. Resign our enjoyments, if thou shouldst require it, as our absolute proprietor and best friend. In our unworthiness and provocations, make us grateful for the means of grace and the ordinances of religion, and teach us to profit by them more than we have done. Help us to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, to enter upon the Sabbath mindful of its solemnities, duties, privileges, setting all things worldly aside, while we worship thee. May we know the blessedness of men whose strength is in thee, and in whose hearts are the highways to heaven. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. And again, if your plans this weekend do not contain plans to worship with the saints, change them. You need to be worshiping with the saints. It is critical for us. All right, again, have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. God bless.